let's get to the word here. We got some important things to talk about. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first two lessons from Israel. The first lesson that I brought back from Israel was this, that Jesus really put on flesh and he walked among us. I got to walk in the places, spend time in the places, read the words of Jesus, the red letters in my Bible, in the very places where Jesus spoke those words and did those miracles. And it just, once again, is a reminder that Jesus is not a fable. These places, Galilee, Nazareth, Bethlehem, Caesarea, you go on and on. These places aren't fiction. They're not Narnia, you know, that type of thing. They're real places, and Jesus really stepped down from heaven. He really put on flesh, and he really went to a cross, and he really was resurrected, and he really went and ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, and this is awesome news. The first lesson from Israel. The second lesson from Israel that I brought back was no Jesus, N-O. If there's no Jesus, there's no peace. Because apart from Christ Jesus, there will never be peace anywhere. In Jerusalem, there won't be peace without Jesus. There won't be peace in the Middle East. There won't be peace in the world. There won't be peace in your soul, in your family, in your marriage without Jesus. The third lesson that we're bringing this morning is this. God loves all people. This is something that was very clearly highlighted to me in Israel. God loves all people. I have another title for lesson number three, and that is God loves them too. He loves them too. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. Apostle Paul writes, and he says that this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men, all people, to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, for all people, the testimony given in its proper time. So I throw out a few questions. Did Jesus come for only a few people? Is the work of Christ on the cross only powerful enough to save but a small percentage, only a select group of mankind? Is God's grace only extended to people who are born into a specific race, into a specific location, or at a specific time? For God so loved a few people that he gave his only son. Come on, everyone's supposed to say, you know, shout me down. Yeah, no, of course not. John 3:16, we know it. For God so loved the world, everyone, for all time and from all time. For God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to save us, to rescue us. And Jesus is calling all people from all tribes, from all ethnicities, from all nations. He's calling every people group, all ages and stages, every color, no matter what family or nation or time or place you were born into. God is calling you into his family through his son, Yeshua, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. All who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. All. All. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this is John talking here, Apostle John. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude, not a small multitude. I don't know if you can have a small multitude. Professor Carlos, can you have a small multitude? You cannot. So I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. That means they've been cleansed by the blood of Christ Jesus. There's no other way to be purified, to be made clean, except through Christ Jesus. And there's this multitude from all these nations, every tribe, every tongue, every race, that are standing before the throne. They were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice. They said, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. A multitude, all kinds of people from all kinds of places, all kinds of families and backgrounds. So when you think of visiting Israel, you assume the focus of your trip is going to be on Jewish people. We're going there to see Jewish people and to connect with the Jewish people who live in Israel. And let me tell you, when I was there, I got to meet a whole lot of wonderful, beautiful Jewish people. It was fabulous. It was interesting. It was exhilarating. But not everyone in Israel is Jewish. Just saying. Our guide who fought in several of the wars, who's been around the block, this Jewish man, Ron, he's like a walking history book for Israel. He's amazing. And he said, we got to understand something, that in Israel, that there are just over about 6 million ethnic Jewish people living in Israel, but there's also about 6 million non-Jewish people also living in Israel, and the vast majority of those 6 million are Arab, are Muslim. And then there's a small percentage, maybe 3 at most, percent, that are Christian, which again underscores the reason why, man, we need to be bringing Jesus to Israel, to Jerusalem. And I'll say it and I'll say it again, there's not going to be peace in Jerusalem until that number grows from 3% to like 100%. That nation, that city, that place on this earth needs Jesus just like we all do. We all do. And so we're reminded that salvation and redemption and forgiveness and freedom and healing and the Holy Spirit, God making his dwelling in us, and man, isn't reserved only for the Jewish people. Rather, God's eternal kingdom life, it's for all, for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. Whether they're Jew or Gentile, whether they're Israeli and Arab, male, female, young and old, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here. It's been a long weekend. But salvation is for everyone, for all who call on the name of Jesus. There were people worshiping Jesus in Jerusalem. Even today, believers in Christ Jesus coming together and worshiping. And they're worshiping him in every language. And they're doing this together. And I want to show you a short video that I spliced together. Let's run this video. This is worship going on. This is a worship meeting that we were in the middle of our time there in Jerusalem. This is Arabic. Lifting up the Lord, speaking truth, declaring the word of God in Arabic. In this room, there are Jews, there are Arabs, but everyone in this room, or at least hopefully by the end of this time together, we're Christian. You know what I'm saying? And so we're lifting up the name of Jesus together. It doesn't matter what language. This is Hebrew right now going on. Lifting up truth, lifting up Christ in the language, the Hebrew language. Arabs in the room. Ethnic Jewish people in the room. Gentiles like myself and others in the room. God loves us all. And we all have salvation through Christ Jesus. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. And I want to ask you to do this. I want you to repeat this because I believe this is something we need to remember. I want you to repeat the power of God. Just say the power of God. Don't be afraid to say that. Don't be afraid to remind yourself of the power of God. The power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then for the Gentile. First to the Jew, then the Gentile. It's God's will that all would be saved. First the Jew, then the rest of us. And here's what we got to understand. The rest of us includes you. You're part of the rest of us. Salvation through the power of God is for you. Not just them, but for all of us, for you too. I feel compelled that we personalize this right now. It's so easy to sit. We love doing this in Western culture. We love to sit and listen and take in a bunch of knowledge, you know, and go, wow, that was good knowledge, and maybe take a few notes so we can go back and, you know, fill in blanks or whatever. But I want us to take in this reality right now. I want you to take in this reality that this message of God's love includes all people, and that includes you. Salvation is for you. And I know some of you feel like you've blown it. Like maybe you've gone too long and too far running away from God. Like the things that you've done in the past, yeah, you're still doing penance for it, which I don't know where you get that whole concept, you know, and all that, but you're still not good enough for God to really love you and to really bring you in His family. You're still too messed up for the Lord. And that's a bunch of lies from the devil. Well, I wasn't born into the right family, or, you know, I didn't grow up like these other people grew up, and I did this stuff when I was younger. I did this stuff yesterday. I still think these thoughts. I still struggle with sin and all of this stuff. And so, yeah, this truth, it's for them, but it's not for me. And I'm here to tell you and remind you this morning that, no, it is for you. The salvation in and through Christ Jesus is for you. First the Jew, then the Gentile. And that includes us. Salvation, forgiveness, new life is for you, not just for the other person. For God so loved you that He gave His only Son. And I want to ask you to repeat something after me. And this is going to take humility to do it. And you don't have to. There's never feel pressure like you have to respond if I ever do that. I don't do that very often. But if I do, don't feel pressure. If I ever ask, you know, raise your hand for this or put your hands out, never feel pressure to do any of that stuff. Okay, you have freedom in Christ Jesus, you know. So don't feel that pressure. But I would encourage you to repeat these words after me, because I believe it's going to be good for your mind, for your spirit, for your soul, for your life. Okay? Just repeat after me. Say these words. Say, I am not forgotten. I am not abandoned. Rather, I am loved. God loves me. He came for me. And He has reserved a special place for me in His family. Do you believe that? You know that? Because that's truth. What you just spoke, what just came out of your mouth, is the truth. It's the truth. For God so loved you. For God so loves you. You. And if we're going to be like Jesus then, and if we're going to be His followers, if we're going to love Jesus and love others the way that Jesus loves the world, that means that we're going to love all people also. For God so loves all people. We call ourselves Christians and followers of Christ. And so in doing that, we have chosen to love all people. We're going to love the Jew and the Arab alike. We will love those who look like us and those who don't look like us. We will love our neighbor. We're going to love our friend, and we're also going to love our enemy. We will love those who help us and those who hate us. And I know that's a tall order. There are people in this world that are hard to love. There's no doubt about it. There just are. There's some people that really can rub us the wrong way, yet we're called to love them, and we can love them because we're not loving out of our own strength or out of our own feelings. We're loving out of the grace of Jesus Christ that gives us all we need for life and godliness, which means loving even those people that need some extra grace. All things are possible through God. So God loves all people. God loves all people. All people. Lesson number 4. It's kind of complicated. That's the 4th lesson from Israel. It's kind of complicated. Life is messy. Amen? Anybody? I can tell you, life is messy. Even for a pastor, believe me, life can be messy, all right? History can also be very messy. Sometimes it's not just a simple answer. Sometimes it's a lot more complicated than what it appears on the surface. And I'm talking about Israel and Jerusalem right now, but you know, basically every area of life. It's not always so simple, and it's not always what we see on the surface. See, we think we understand. We think, okay, the Jews are the good guys, and the Arabs or the Muslims are the bad guys. And my response to that is, really? But we often go there, don't we? We can just easily go there and get pulled into that way of thinking. But I would argue that it's a bit more complicated than that. And there's a bit more to the story. Maybe we're only seeing through a glass dimly. Maybe we don't know everything. Maybe CNN isn't really showing us what reality is out there. Or even Fox News. I mean, it doesn't matter. Maybe what we've learned since we were a kid and how we were brought up, maybe it's not the full story or the full picture. Maybe it's a bit deeper. Maybe there are layers. Layers. I want to show you a picture. This is one of the walls at the Temple Mount. And what do we see in this wall? We see layers, don't we? Layers, 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 layers. You got the Israeli period. Then you have the Roman period. Then you have Herod the Great and his period. In fact, it was Herod the Great who put these stones down here, these big stones. Some of them are about 24 feet long, by the way. You don't see them in this picture, but there are some of these stones that are 6 feet tall and 24 feet in length. Massive. How do you move those? Then you have, after the Herodian period, you have the Byzantine period, and then the Muslim period, followed by the Crusaders, and then the Mamelukes, and then we get to the Ottoman period, followed by the British period, followed by the Jordanian period. No, Jordan, not that, not your period, but the Jordanian period, and then once again in 1948, we have once again the Israel or Israelite period until this day. There are layers. There's a lot of history that's been built up, a lot of cultures that we're dealing with here. A lot of layers. And people have been trying to peel back these layers for centuries and centuries. And the results of trying to peel back these layers has actually been quite painful, catastrophic. There's been wars and terrorism as a result. There's been starvation as a result of trying to peel back these layers and just make it simple. Let's just get back to the simple reality, right? And so trying to peel back the layers to just make it simple, because we all like it to be simple and all wrapped up in the way that we've been taught and the way that we believe, in trying to get it all back to that simple place. We're peeling back these layers and people are getting hurt. Lots of people are getting hurt, and it's happening still today. I want to argue something, and this is just Pastor Eric talking here right now. I want to argue that these layers don't need to be peeled back. Rather, these layers need to be brought together in Christ Jesus. That's what needs to happen. Often in life, we want to peel back the layers and get back to the simple place that we feel comfortable, that makes sense to us. And we cause so much pain as we do that in people's lives. Because there's a lot of history, there's a lot of life, there's a lot that's happened that's created those layers, but we don't need to peel it back to what makes us comfortable. We need to bring all those layers, all of life, all of history, all that's going on, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, the this, the them, the us, the we's, the who's. We need to bring it all back together actually in Christ. That's what's needed in Jerusalem. That's what's needed in the Middle East. That's what's needed in the world. That's what's needed in our lives. We need to be brought together. We need to pull it all together in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world. I want to bring up my wife. Velvet, would you come up? Velvet had a great interaction. She has a great story she's going to tell about an Arab pastor there in Israel. Come on up here, babe. Can I call you babe in church?
I think so.
All right.
Is that okay?
All right.
So as Eric was preparing for this sermon, I was telling him, reminding him of a story. We had an Arab pastor who pastors on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea in Haifa. Mm-hmm. And he spoke to us, and he was sharing about the word, and then he told us about something that happened to him often there in Israel. And he said oftentimes he'll be at a conference or something where tourists are coming through, and they hear that he's a pastor in Israel, and maybe he's even in the States. And they're so excited to come up to him for prayer. They want him to pray for them because he's from Israel. And then when they find out that he is not Jewish, they're like disappointed. They're like, oh, we wanted a Jewish person to pray for us. And it just kind of shows, I don't know, are you going to draw it together? Is that all I'm supposed to say?
You just do whatever. Keep going.
Okay. Well, and so it just shows that, you know, God loves all people. All the children of God are endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit to pray for people. And, you know, but somehow we have this mindset that if a pastor prays for us or if a Jewish pastor prays for us, then there's something extra special. And he was just sharing, you know, that mindset that often tourists have going through. And also what I love about his story is, isn't that beautiful about bringing people together? Here you have an Arab who's pastoring a congregation of Jewish believers, and only God can do that. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So a messianic Jewish congregation being pastored by a spirit-filled, redeemed Arab, you know, pastor. I mean, this is the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. Oh, but it's not all peeled back and ordered in the way. But it's the kingdom of God. It's God's way. All people. Every ethne. The solution isn't peeling back the layers. In Jerusalem, it's not the solution for your own life. It's really bringing it all under the lordship of Christ Jesus. Letting him be Lord of all of that. And he'll take care of it. So life is complicated. People are dealing with a lot of heavy issues. During our ministry time, we saw people dealing with a lot of heavy issues, but they were dealing with those. They're dealing with them the right way, bringing them before the Lord, having their brothers and sisters in the Lord come alongside of them and do this battle with them and for them. But there are a lot of people dealing with heavy issues, and more than likely, you don't have a clue what your neighbor and even the people next to you are really dealing with in life right now, what they've been struggling with, what's been coming against them, the kind of pain and suffering that they have or that they are even now experiencing. You don't know everybody's story. The layers of their life. So knowing how to deal with one another becomes very important because, again, we can look at one another and quickly go to, well, I can peel back the layers that I see in their life and I can fix them and fix their problem and make them all good and clean again, and they're going to love me for it. And in the process, man, we can do a lot of harm and a lot of hurt to one another. And there's a right way and a wrong way to help one another with our issues and our struggles. And so I want to move into the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So just a reminder, as we're dealing with one another, and we all have layers, that we do it with care and compassion and love and grace and mercy. We come before one another humbly and in love. We're not the ones to fix one another. We are used by God to minister to one another. But we let God do that heavy lifting, and we move forward in humility. I think of Jesus with the woman at the well. Her life was very complicated. How many of you remember that, right? Her life was extreme. A lot of layers in that woman's life. And what did the disciples do? They're still learning at this time, right? They didn't know how to deal with all those layers, and so they blew her off. They ignored her. They thought all the layers in her life and all the complication, just she was disqualified from love and from care. But Jesus responded differently. And he approached her not trying to peel back her layers, but trying and successfully, because Jesus is very successful at what he does, is bringing her to love and new life in him. Changed her life. Layers. I have one more lesson. I'm going to very quickly cover this last lesson. Lesson number 5 from Israel. Jesus is really coming back. All right, if you all remember this, let's do this again. He's coming back. All right, he's really coming back. Quick video. Watch this video. I shot this on the walls in Jerusalem.
Armies will be ready for any attack of the enemy. But there was another role of the watchman. Whenever the king was away, whenever the king was gone outside the city, the watchmen were there, and they would be the first ones to recognize that the king was returning. And so, church, we are called to be watchmen on the wall, looking and watching and longing for the return of our king, Jesus, Yeshua. He is coming back. As watchmen on this wall, we will be those who are looking through the clouds, for he's coming on the clouds, and he will draw us up to meet him in the clouds, and we'll come down with our King Jesus, who is returning, and we will reign and rule with him for a millennium. This is exciting news. Church, one way to be watchmen on the wall is to be men and women of prayer. Like it says in Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride, as watchmen, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord Jesus. And so that's our prayer. That's what we're longing for. And church, he is coming back. He's coming back. And you got it, right?
All right. How about that? Little interaction. I like that. So when you're in Israel, obviously you're thinking about the ministry of Christ when he walked on this earth. But the thing that keeps exciting me as I'm in Israel is the reality that he's coming back. He's returning. He's coming back, and we will meet him in the clouds. And we will come and reign with him on this earth. We will receive our resurrected bodies at just the right time. And we will spend eternity on a perfect earth with Jesus. Come on, that reality screams at me as I walk the streets of Jerusalem. Jesus is really coming back. You can hang your hat on it, and you can bet your life on it, and I pray that you do bet your life on the reality that he is returning. We also went to Har-Megiddo, which means Mount of Megiddo. Har-Megiddo, you can hear Armageddon. Armageddon, Har-Megiddo. This is a real place. Here's some pictures from Armageddon that I took. Here's another picture of us also up there on the hill or the Mount of Megiddo. And I had to take this because right at the base of Armageddon is a McDonald's. And it just goes to show you, these people know where the business is going to be happening. They get there first, no other restaurant, but they're already there at Armageddon, and they're ready for the masses, for the world to come together. A whole lot of Big Macs are going to be sold in that place. They're going to... Anyway, isn't that hilarious? He's coming back. And so our response to his return is, come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand up. Again, if you're comfortable doing this, I think it's powerful when the people of God declare these truths together and cry out to the living God together. If you're comfortable, just say this after me. Say, come, Lord Jesus. And let's do it all together now. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's say it again like we mean it, like we're desperate for it, even right now. Come, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you that you are returning. We thank you that you're here right now, that your kingdom is here right now, that your presence is here right now. We thank you for the freedom and the new life that we have in you and through you right now. We thank you that you love us, you love all people, that you've come and that you've rescued us. And God, I just pray even now that if there's anybody in this room who does not know salvation in you, that who does not know the peace that passes understanding that comes from you, Christ Jesus. If there's anyone in here who doesn't know what's going to happen when you return in the end of times and where they're going to end up, God, I pray that you would move on their hearts right now and draw them to Jesus. Holy Spirit, draw us all to Jesus. God, we thank you for the lessons that we learn from your word, from your life. God, may we be those people who live daily out of this truth.